remembering Vishwanatha Swami. Despite a lapse of more than 35 years, the devotees of the New York and Nova Scotia Arunachala Ashrama continue to experience the profound benefit of their association with Vishwanatha Swami. We conclude in this issue a few anecdotes from his life, his writings, and our meetings with him during the 1970s. Swami Vishwanathan would never forget any sincere seeker or devotee he had met. If we wrote to him from New York or Nova Scotia, we felt assured that he would respond, pouring out his insights, instructions, and blessings in words that sprung spontaneously from his pure, surrendered heart. On the topic of heart, the Swami understood from his own experience and learning why Bhagavan Ramana gave the utmost importance to it. See article by Swami Vishwanathan on page 4. He wrote to Evelyn Caslow, now Caslow Sapphire, on March 1, 1978. The heart is the soul of Bhagavan's teaching in one word, and it has been clearly expounded in Chapter 5 of Sri Ramana Gita. If possible, one should study the Sanskrit text itself, as it is so inspiring. Bhavanam manaso jnanya dhanyanna hridayanna manaha asesha hridaye tasmat katha pari samapyate. The universe is nothing but the mind, and the mind is nothing but the heart. Thus, the entire story of the universe culminates in the heart. Sri Ramana Gita, Chapter 5, Verse 12. And Hrim is the holiest Bijakshara seed mantra of the mother of the universe. Hrid is the shorter form of Hriday, and this is Hrim. If you very subtly meditate on Hrim with your attention, Lakshya, on the heart center, on the right side of the chest, as revealed by Bhagavan, that is the subtlest and easiest and best meditation. The heart vibrates as Hrim, Hrim, and everything is swallowed up by it. H, R, E, E, and M, the four constituents of Hrim, represent the gross, subtle, causal, and transcendental aspects. Hrim is the tantric pranava. I want you to convey this essence of ultimate teaching to Sri Bhagavat and all co-devotees there. I have taught you Arunachala Shiva, 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 Shiva. And now I give you this. Nothing more is needed. That you are deeply moved by the Sri Lalita Sahasranama Stotram is sure proof that you are enjoying the supreme grace of the Mother. May the Mother bless you all with her all-pervading grace. After inquiries about his health and making a trip to the New York ashram are answered, the Swami concludes this letter, writing, praying again for the abundant grace of Bhagavan, our Mother, I am ever yours, Vishwanathan. Regarding the meaning of his name Vishwanatha, he wrote in another letter, there is Bhagavan ever residing within our heart, one with us. For the sake of play, Leela, he has endowed us with a seeming separateness from him. The waves are nothing but the ocean. I am the Lord of the universe. That is what my name means. Swami Vishwanathan had much love respect and devotion for his mother. About 10 years after the Mahanirvana of Bhagavan, she became ill at Dindigul, and he went there to serve her till her dying day. We were told that she had kept on her altar a small little bundle of something, carefully wrapped and tied in a cloth, which she would worship daily. She did not permit anyone to open it or know its contents. But after her passing, it was opened. Swami Viswanathan then saw that it was a small booklet of the 108 names, Sri Ramana Ashtotra, that Bhagavan had written in his own hand for her in Sanskrit. Swami Viswanathan himself had composed this work. Such was her devotion to Bhagavan. While serving his mother during her last days, he wrote about the refined spiritual qualities of his mother as follows. She is an extraordinary woman. None of the calamities have shaken her. She is serene, dignified, and childlike in her indifference to so many things of the world that usually disturb even those endowed with a clear intellectual grasp of what is what. I am sure that apart from her natural makeup that way, her lifelong adherence to the divine, culminating with her contact with Bhagavan, and her deep and real devotion to him, stand by her now to sustain her in her otherwise pitiable physical condition. I am reminded of her advice to my father, who was himself a man of unalloyed Advaitic conviction, as he was being taken to the hospital for a strangulated hernia. "Look here, your son and the doctor are there to take care of your body. So turn your whole attention to what you have been saying of the ultimate reality all these years." My late younger brother, R. Subramanian, who also had inherited that adherence to Advaita, reported to me the above conversation, expressing great admiration for mother's presence of mind. Yes, undisturbed, unruffled inner serenity under all changing circumstances of life is the greatest asset an intelligent person should care to have. Bhagavan has opened our eyes to the great fact of life, that unruffled serenity, shanti, is our very nature, and that all disturbing waves are only on the surface, and that they also are nothing but the reality when viewed from the heart, the ultimate source of everything. Understanding is beyond thought, and so is real love and devotion. In his letters to us, he always hit the mark straight through, defining what we must do to attain that state of beatitude. Leave alone individual relationships. Study the 5 verses on the one self of all. Ekatma Panchakam, again and again, and realize that there is but one self. We are all one in it. It is the last of Sri Bhagavan's utterances. Feel one with the whole universe. That is universal love. Whatever Swami Viswanatha spoke or whatever he wrote had the stamp of truth on it, because it arose from his own unshakable convictions born of experience. He told us that he was in the Nirvana room when Bhagavan's body expired. For Viswanatha Swami, this was not a depressing experience, but rather one of revelation and illumination. He saw that small room flood with light. His heart soared in bliss. He then saw this same light leave the room and believed that it took the form of the heavenly body that was immediately seen slowly traversing the sky at the very moment of Bhagavan's Mahanirvana. Swami Vishwanathan's sudden departure on 22nd of October 1979 was a shock to all who knew him. His younger brother Sivaraman said he died by an act of will and that he could have lived beyond those 75 years if he had wished. It is true, he suffered from some illness, possibly heat stroke, for a couple of days. He requested no treatment and foretold that he would not survive but would depart after 2 days, and that is what happened. Although reluctant to write about himself, the Swami was persuaded to write some personal reminiscences in 4 issues of the 1979 Mountain Path. His legacy was not those writings, but rather his unflinching lifelong devotion to Bhagavan, the example of a pure, surrendered life to the Master. During Swami Vishwanatha's final years, he was sought by ardent devotees from India and abroad for the clarification of their doubts. In the evenings, several devotees used to meditate with him in his room. He did not talk much, but when he did, the subject was either Bhagavan or Nayana. He had the rare privilege of their close proximity and blessings. However, he never boasted of his association with them. He was without ego of any kind. He never made any fuss about himself. He looked after his needs himself and did not depend on others. He mingled freely with the high and the low. There was no exhibition of his scholarship or his lifelong sadhana or deep spirituality. While he had a thorough grasp of Bhagavan's teachings, he also had deep faith in the potency of great mantras, having been influenced by Nayana. The boy who had surrendered to Bhagavan in his teens merged with Arunachala. His samadhi is near the back gate of the ashram on a site specially selected by the ashram president, Sri T.N. Venkatraman, who showered his love and affection on Sri Vishwanatha Swami till the last minute. Hundreds of devotees cherish the memory of this unostentatious and simple child of Bhagavan.